Blog Talk Radio.
And that's very far from thee to do after that matter, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
Yahweh.
Our favorite teacher, thus saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, he that made the same mistake again, he called it insanity. Show me a man without adversity, I show you a man without character. Send his messenger through us all to prepare us for disaster. Time is moving faster when the remnant makes it home. They'll be all living lavish. If he won't treat you right, won't teach you right. Serve Yahweh with all your soul and all your might. It'll make a brass monkey cry. True for tradition, to be the hearts of the fathers and to the children. There is no other God beside my maker name. Yahweh, your host, and there is no Holy Ghost. And supposing you thought he came to be priest on this earth, he said no. Old man for counsel and young man for woe. For show to the late great prophet who taught us the knowledge of Yahweh. Therefore, I pay homage, giving glory to the Holy One, the King of the Kings, the strength of Israel. One day he redeemed
Yahweh.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing you truth or traditions. Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only lawgiver, judge, King, Redeemer, and Savior of Israel and the world. Today, the Most High has again anointed me to teach His word on truth or traditions. And today, we're going to talk about something very interesting. We're going to talk about one of the most holiest covenants or agreements that the Most High made with man. And that is the covenant of day and night. But before we get into this beautiful, interesting subject, we will again bring you another beautiful song from the 12 Tribes CD, and today this song is dedicated to one of my most beloved mothers that just passed away, Mother Marion. Just went on the other side. And we're dedicating our program to our beautiful elderly mother that just passed. And we're dedicating this song to her as well. The song is entitled, I Am Going Through. Only Through You. Only Through You is the song we're dedicating to Mother Marion. Only Through You.
Yeah.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Maria Elisha Israel, the House of Israel, bringing you truth or tradition. I'm very sorry that I wasn't with our listening audience last week, but I was to speak at a conference in Jackson, Mississippi last week. The name of the conference was the Restoration of the Sacred Law. And we had a beautiful time exalting the laws of Yah, because these laws are our life and the length of our days. Today we're going to talk about a few things, and you're willing to pick any of these subjects that I name, and you can discuss them. But next week, this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m., I am invited to be a part of a panel discussion at Central State University. And I think you'll be shocked on what they elected me to speak on to the students at Central State during the course of this panel discussion. But I might add that a few weeks ago, one of the professors there, he challenged me to a debate on the Bible. And I went and I participated in the debate. And needless to tell you what happened. You all know me by now, so you know exactly what took place. But the professor was so elated and so surprised and astonished at the results of the debate that we had, that he invited a whole slew of professors and theologians of various different denominations to join with him and I on this discussion. And we just sent this invitation, and I read it because some of you all in the listening audience might be interested in attending that affair. They never had anything like it before. Here's what it says. Maria Elisha Israel, the Department of Humanities at Central State University, is cordially inviting you to participate in our forum. The name of the forum is entitled, What is the True Religion of the Black Man? The forum will include representatives from the Nation of Islam, Orthodox Islam, Christianity, Israelites, and an Old Testament theologian. This forum will be formally structured with each of the representatives given ample time to present their position. There will then be time for a discussion amongst the panel members before those in attendance ask their questions. A reception will follow, and our hope is that you will meet with students that may have an interest in pursuing a deeper understanding of your teaching. The date of this event is Tuesday, December the 5th, at the Center for Education and Natural Science, located on the campus of CSU, or Central State University. The time for the panel discussion will be 7 p.m. Prior to the panel discussion, at 5 p.m., students in the African American religious class will present papers on various subjects. There will also be a debate by students regarding the psychological chain of slavery, a concept made popular by African American scholar Dr. Akbar. We're looking forward to your attendance, participation, and willingness to share your knowledge and teachings. Should you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact me. Peace. Dr. David C. Evans at the Department of Humanities. So we're looking forward to being there. I have never seen anything like this in my life. The young man that I had the discussion with, the Almighty must have really touched him, because now he's going to clear up this matter. He want to know who we are as a people and what is our true religion. I guess he realized by this time he's merely an instrument of the Most High. Because the Most High intends for all of his people getting this knowledge. Because we are approaching a time that's most critical to the survival of the black man in America. We're turning the pages of history every day. As I'm speaking, pages are being turned, bringing us closer and closer to the exodus of our people from this land. Yes, this is not our land. You should know that by now. As the scripture says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the Almighty will bring us and our king into a land that we nor our fathers have known, a land where we would be hated by our enemies night and day. And I think you all seen a reflection of that just the other day. Young man just finna get married. Came out of a building with some other young men, jumped in their car, and the police loaded it with bullets. Loaded it. Shot over 100 different bullets in the car. You would think they had a bazooka there, or a cannon, or at least some kind of nuclear device that's going to set off and blow up all of New York. You would have thought at the actions of these heathens that that's what these people had done. But upon close scrutiny and searching of the automobile, they didn't find not even a toothpick, not even a large fingernail file that these men have. But two of them were wounded, and the man that was going to get married the very next day, he shot to death. But the police are justifying it. As I've said many times before, it's always justifiable homicide when they kill a black man in this land. As the Creator said, this is the land of your enemies. And these people are your enemies from the top to the bottom, from the least to the greatest. All of these courts are corrupt, as you see by the treatment of the laws pertaining to. Now, don't get me wrong, some of the laws are good. It's just the people that enforce the laws. If you put a heathen or an ape to enforce a law, even a good law, he's going to make it bad. It's like the prosecutor. He's trying to send a signal to our people that it's okay to kill each other. It's okay to take vigilante vengeance and go out and just start killing people if you see them bothering anything that belonged to you. Of course, they don't care anything about any of us anyway. So the last three events in Cincinnati, justifiable homicide. Man run his car up on a corner and kill the man, justifiable. Man shoot a kid driving, trying to get down the street with his car, justifiable. And then our poor General Kabaka Apo, coming out of the courthouse, coming out of the so-called House of Justice, after speaking like none other for the liberation of our people, as he did every week, down there speaking in behalf of our people. While the people that shoot them, all they can do is think about getting high and selling other people drugs to get high, but now they're gunned down by these weak-minded people. And the prosecutor and the police chief and the judges reward them, because this is truly a land with no justice. You got laws, and some of the laws are good, but there's no justice because the laws are no better than the people that enforce them. And the people that enforce these laws are heathens. Then the justice is going to be heathenistic. And that's what you have. The other day in Atlanta, old lady, 93 years of age, broke in her house, living in a neighborhood where she tried to keep her windows and doors barred because she knows that she can expect anything. Your policemen are told that somebody sold some drugs in there, so they can just break an old lady's house, and she don't know if somebody's trying to kill her or rape her or what. So she took a gun and fired, and they shot her 70-80 times, just kept putting new clips in the gun and just fired again and emptied that and putting another clip. The woman got so many holes in her body, you can't. She looked like some kind of cheese or something. Sunlight can get through that. How many times do you have to shoot a 93-year-old woman to kill her? Clip after clip after clip. The Creator said you would not have no assurance of your life in this land. And now you see the various prophecies that Yah has delivered to Brother Elisha. You see them coming to pass. As we said many times before in our program, Yahweh will do nothing except what he reveals unto his servants, the prophets. And there's nothing that's going to happen that we had not warned you about. We told you about the vaccination, these shots they're giving our people. We told you about the Agent Orange. We told you about King Alfred. We told you about what they intend on doing to these people and our people with martial law, and all of these things are coming to pass. We're showing you that nobody gets bent out of shape when they kill an old black lady or a young black boy, but other black men and other black women. As far as everybody else, it's just another day at the horse race. Nothing new. But the Almighty's bringing all these things to pass to try to wake up a people that are mentally deaf and dumb, mentally asleep, refuse to wake up because you think this is the land of your milk and honey. You think this is going to be the land where your descendants will have justice at one day. Well, if you think that, then go on the reservations and ask Mr. and Mrs. Whitehorse, Chief Sitting Bull's son. And he'll tell you about American justice. Study what really happened on Thanksgiving, and you'll know what happened in American justice. Why, you think the only people that's not celebrating Thanksgiving the other day were American Indians and a few wise Israelites that know the true history of Thanksgiving. Why do you think that? Because they know what it truly represents. And they know how they were repaid to their face for the kindness, the gratitude, and the help that they gave this heathen to survive. They seen how they paid them back. They had a taste of American justice. Everything in this land is polluted. Everything in this land and in the White House and the courthouse are all defiled. And heathens are trying to be just. And this man, history will show you that he has never been fair, never been just, and never coexisted with anybody except attempting to dominate and subjugate those people. and you want to know about justice. Well, if you think this is your home, you think this is your paradise, you stick around. And what you had in Katrina, the old body's going to make it a reality in other cities. So you'll see how these people really think about you. If they didn't show you how they thought about you as a whole, collectively, by what happened in New Orleans during Katrina, they will let you know in a course of time with these other catastrophes that the Almighty intend on bringing against this land to wake up the sleeping black giant. The sleeping black giant, because once he realized who he is, once he realized where he came from, once he realized his stock, he'll know that the only salvation he has is with the Most High and his people. But, as I said, you can talk about anything that you want to talk about. This heathen claims that he is worshiping Christ. Well, this man never looked up to anything black. That's when he took Christ's picture and painted it white. Don't you know this man knows that this Christ in this New Testament is a black man? Don't you think this man knows how to read? Don't you know that he was reading these books before you were? Why do you think he had laws in his book stating if a black man is caught reading a book, he would have his hands cut off? He didn't want you to wake up to know who you were. Because once you woke up and found out who you are, you would soon realize who he is. And then he was always worried about the ties changing. Yes, he knew what's in this book. He knew what's in the book of Revelation. Let me just show you something in his book, showing you how evil and diabolical this man is. Of course, he has the knowledge to know that one picture is worth 1,000 words. But today I'm not going to show you any pictures. I'm going to just read a few words. I have a lesson to teach about, but I just want to talk to you a minute so you can see a few things. Now, this is supposed to be Christ, the one that he serves, that he calls his Savior. Can you imagine a white man calling a black man his Savior? He's so hypocritical that before he would make him his Savior, he would paint this man white and teach that he's white and worship him as white, because the same man that is worshiping a black man hates black people. And he hates black people, but he's worshiping a black God. Look at the description of this man's God that's in his book. His book, the Greek scriptures. Revelation, first chapter, the 13th to the 15th verse. Notice what it says.
And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man.
And that's what J.C. always pertained to himself, as the Son of Man, even though he was not the Son of the Most High. That's when he didn't go up and down the street saying, yes, I'm the Son of Yahweh. Yes, I'm the Son of Elohim. Every time people walked up to him, he said, I am the Son of Man. Now, do you think a true Son of God would call himself the Son of Man? Would he minimize his office?
One like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
And notice, it says, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burnt in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Now, let me ask you, you're not illiterate. You see this description. Now, how could one read this and interpret this and come out with the facsimile of a hippie on a stick like you're worshiping a deity? Now, how does this translate into a white man with blonde hair and blue eyes from what you just read? You just read something about a man with white hair and hair like wool, and his eyes were red. And you seen that his feet were like fine brass as if they had burnt in a furnace. And you know what brass looked like if it was burned in a furnace. You got some very dark and very black here. Now, do you see this in your churches? At one little Ingrid church on Hamilton Avenue in Cincinnati, you go to that church right there on Hamilton Avenue, you walk in there and they got a great big picture of a white man, and they calling that the Most High. The Most High, they're saying this thing is the Most High. And the Most High himself has it as a second commandment never to make an image of himself, nor anything that's in heaven above, the earth beneath, or the waters under the earth. Let's show you how foolish these people were. Now, if they thought that Christ was the Most High, why would they have a picture of him in the first place? When the Most High told them to not make any kind of picture or likeness of him and put it anywhere, if they thought this man was the Most High. But they know he's not the Most High. Just showing you how ignorant and foolish our people are. And the Almighty will repay our foolish people back to their face for their stupidity. Because you would have to be really stupid to follow somebody teaching something like this, portraying something like this, and you got the ability to read and write as you do today. Look in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 9th verse. This is the only description of the Most High that is recorded within the confines of the Holy Scriptures. This is the image that Daniel seen of the Most High. And he said in the 7th chapter, the 9th verse, I beheld unto the thrones were cast down, all the earthly thrones, meaning all the earthly governments, because they had to be cast down because all of them were wicked, whether they might be ruled by people that say they're Hebrewic, Islamic, or Christians, they are all corrupt. But I beheld until the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. That's another name of the Most High, if you didn't know it, the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was
white as snow.
White as snow.
And the hair of his head.
And the hair of his head.
Like the pure wool.
Like pure wool. Why is that so significant that the Most High had had like pure wool? Well, we look in the book of Genesis, the 1st chapter, the 26th verse, it says, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image. See, man, the first man was written, or should I say made in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Now, the image is you look in a mirror, you see your image. You look in the water, you might see a reflection of yourself. That's not you, but that's your image. But not only did the Most High make man in his own image, he further states that he made man in his own likeness. Likeness. Made he him, male and female, created he him. That's the reason we know. It's one of the reasons you know that the Hebrewism, the laws of Yahweh, is a true religion of the black man. This is one of the points I'll make when I'm in Central State. Because the God of the Hebrews was black. All the angels that he sent down were black. And everyone that was described from heaven had woolly hair. And it says that he made man in his own image and after his own likeness. So undoubtedly, I'm quite sure we're safe to say that these men were black, as their creator was. And it's safe to say they had the same kind of hair that he had. Not like Michelangelo and them when they finished painting these portraits of their drunk uncle and claim it's the Most High, you know that's a monstrosity. It's a monstrosity. The Most High would not allow it. But these people are claiming they have pictures of the Most High. Well, look what the Christ of the New Testament said about that. The so-called Christ of the New Testament even said in the book of John, the 5th chapter, the 37th verse,
John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape.
I said the Father himself has borne witness of me, has said you have neither seen, heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. So if you ain't seen the shape of the Most High, then whose shape would you see? Then you go to John 1:18, what? And this is your book testifying against you. Now that lets you know that JC had enough sense to know he was not the Most High. This lets you know that the Christ of the New Testament had enough knowledge to know that he was not the Creator in any shape, form, or manner. Well, he told those that were with him that nobody has ever seen God nor heard his voice at any time. He said, you had neither heard his voice or seen his shape at any time. And they were looking at him, listening to his voice, and hearing his words, and looking at his shape as he was saying, you have never seen or heard God. And then we go to John 1:18, and it says further,
No man.
And, of course, we know that J.C. lied there. For those that have been keeping up with my program, I've gave many instances and showed you with scriptures where many men have seen the Most High. But according to the words of J.C. that he is alleged to have said in the book of John 1:18, it reads,
No man. Hath seen God.
At any time. And they were looking at him. Now, for the so-called apostolic churches that teach that this man is the Most High, let me ask you a question. When Christ said in John 1:18 that nobody has ever seen God, or when John said nobody's seen God at any time, was John lying? Was John lying? Because John had seen Christ of the New Testament. John had seen J.C. John, as a matter of fact, was chosen to be one of his disciples. And here John said, no man has seen God at any time. Now, was he lying? Well, I know you all would quote Timothy and say in the book of Timothy, it says, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction is righteousness. Well, if that's true, and if all scriptures, and that is a scripture, then I guess John must have been lying. Because John said that no man has seen God at any time, and he had seen Christ many times. Many times he'd seen Christ, and he said, no man has seen God at any time. Was John lying? And was Christ lying when he said, ye have never neither heard his voice nor seen his shape? I was talking to one gentleman, and part of the debate, he told me that Christ and the Father is the same. Well, I said, if Christ and the Father are the same, I said, is Christ the Father? He said, yes. And I said, then what's Christ's son's name? And he couldn't answer me. Because he knows that according to the Bible, he didn't even have a wife. let alone the Son. But this is part of the nonsense that we're dealing with today. A great misservice is being happening to our people today. And I want to speak a few minutes on this. Did you know that the whole existence of the black man is in dire jeopardy? Not only by the white man, who, and I'm going to tell you again, and I'll tell you to his face, the white man don't mean the black man no good at all in America. His scientists are now working on ways to try to eliminate you out of the midst of a population without destroying any other people. And not only that, he's doing this because the Almighty is giving him the permission. Because here the Creator gave our people an ultimatum. And I want to show you what that ultimatum was. The Almighty told us, if we didn't recognize what he has given us to determine day and night, that you and I would cease to be a nation before him forever. Did you know that? Let me take you to some place, and that's called the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Let me take you to Jeremiah. Show you what the Most High said about our people. This is a very serious subject. Now, he threw it in the midst while I'm showing you the folly of the New Testament and the folly of the mentality of our people, but it's so serious that every time I get a chance to talk about it, I'm going to talk about it. And that's the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. I want you to look at something that's written in the 35th and the 36th verse of the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Notice what the Most High says.
Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day.
Now notice, what are our people doing? Our people either doing two things. The majority of our people are recognizing a day starts at 12 o'clock at night. This is how they respect the Most High. They will say that a day starts at 12 o'clock at night because this heathen says the day starts at 12 o'clock at night. And he's supposed to do that because he's backwards. Now, how can any say a day starts at midnight? In other words, a day starts in the middle of the night. Now, if a day starts in the middle of the night, then how can that be the middle of the night? That means you don't have another part. How can a day start in the middle of the night? And that's the beginning of a day. If a day starts then, that had to be the end of the night. How can it be the middle of the night when that's the beginning of a day? That's as foolish as it sounds, isn't it? But that's the way our people are thinking. Now, then a lot of people thinking, well, I go by the time in the Bible. I know that this heathen is wrong, and I don't determine a day starting in the middle of the night. To me, a day starts when the sun goes down, in the evening, when it gets dark. Again, how foolish can you be? How can a day begin when the sun goes down, when the Creator has given us the sun to rule the day? That means the sun is here to dominate the day. That's what the word rule means, to dominate. Now, how can that be so if the sun was put here to dominate the day? Let's read the Most High. Said, thus said Yah, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name.
if those ordinances.
Almighty said, if the ordinances, if those ordinances, the sun that it gave to rule the day, and the moon and stars that it gave us to rule the night, if those ordinances depart from before me, said Yahweh, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, you want to be a little colony of Negroes like you are, not ever having a king, never having a country, never having your own government, never having the ability to assert self-determination. If you always want to remain an afflicted people in the midst of another nation, then keep thinking the way you're thinking. Because here the Creator says, if you allow the ordinances, and the sun was put there for one reason only. What was the sun made for? Let me show you what the sun was made for. A lot of people say, well, the sun was made for this, the sun was made for that. And I'm going to show you the primary function that the Almighty put the sun and moon and the stars in the heaven for. According to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, here's what the Most High said in the 14th verse.
And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven.
Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven.
To divide the day from the night.
In other words, the main reason these lights was put into the firmament of the heaven was not to unite the day with the night, but to divide, to separate the day from the night.
And let them be for signs.
Let these lights be for signs.
And for seasons.
And for seasons.
And for days.
And for days and for years.
And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth.
Yes, that's what they were here for. No, not the Almighty's going to get even more explicit than he did. Notice the 16th verse. It says, and Elohim made two great lights. Now, you know what these two great lights are, the sun and the moon. And then he tells you, and Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser night, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So again, he reiterates on the fact that he made two great lights. And the greater light, which is the sun, he made to do what? Rule over the day. Just as he said in the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Just as he said in Genesis, and just as he's saying in the book of Psalms 136. Go to Psalms 136. He constantly reiterates on this because he wants to become redundant and redundant until he drives the point home into a dead people. You have to learn how to respect the Most High. If the Most High says a day starts with the beginning of a sun, don't let Einstein and don't let Constantine and don't let this heathen tell you that it's any otherwise. According to Psalms 136. Notice what the Almighty is going to bring us to the reality of. 136. And here the Creator says, we're going to read the 7 and 8 verse. He says,
to him that made great lights.
To him that made great lights. And that's speaking of Yahweh.
For his mercy endureth forever.
His mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day.
The great light he made to rule the day is what? The sun. Which means when the sun comes out, the day is beginning. And when the sun goes back, the day has ended.
The moon and stars to rule by night.
And he made the moon to rule by night. So when we see the moon out shining in its brightness, and a fool walk up to you and say, this is the beginning of a Sabbath day, you tell him, sir, this is not the beginning of any day. You tell him, how can a day start when you got the moon out and the moon was put here to rule the night, not the day, the night. And then you tell the group that think a day started midnight, in the middle of the night, you tell them they are stone crazy, because they are. And that's why the Creator said, if we don't correct ourselves and learn to acknowledge and respect the ordinances that he put here to tell us about the simplest things on this earth, you and him, you and I would always be a nation of walking zombies. We would always be a people that are not a people. We would always be a nation that's not a nation. We would always be a colony of these so-called Negroes. And you always have these little foolish reverends leading you and telling you what to do because you refuse to accept the words of the Most High. Because you intend on listening to these foolish so-called reverends and not the true and living Elohim. Let me show you something else. While we're in the book of Psalms, what to show you that a day can't start at night, go to the book of Psalms 104. Psalms 104. I want you to go there for a moment, since you think a day starts at night. And let's see what it says in verse 19 and 20.
He appointeth the moon for seasons.
Creator here said he appointed the moon for seasons.
The sun knoweth his going down.
The sun knoweth his going down.
Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth.
Thou makest darkness, and it is night. So when thou makest darkness, the Almighty never said, hey, I'm making darkness. Now you know it's the beginning of another day. That would be a contradiction. Why? Because the Almighty said he has already given us the sun to rule the day. So how can he, the Most High, proclaim a day starting when the sun has already withdrew himself? That's when we know darkness has come, the sun has already withdrawn itself, and the day is over. And if day is over, then what do we have coming after the day? That's night. That's when it said, thou make it darkness, and it is night. And I just want our people to know that these Gentiles, these heathens, these Jewish people that taught you a day starts in the evening are totally wrong. Matter of fact, we have the time in which the Almighty intended for the whole world to worship him. He has the time that he has the Sabbath day appointed for us to worship him. And you can find this in the book of Psalms 113. Let's go to Psalms 113. And the Almighty gives us the time in which the world is to worship him. It starts off Psalms 113, verse 1.
Praise ye Yahweh. Praise you, O ye servants of Yah. Praise the name of Yah.
Notice, praise the name of Yah. Then he tells you what time to praise his name. He said, blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. What time forth? The third verse tell you, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, Yahweh's name is to be praised. So when is Yahweh's name to be praised? From when the sun's come up in the morning until the same sun goes down. Because the night is appointed for sleeping. The night is appointed for sleeping. And the daytime is appointed for us to give all our praises to the Most High. Now, this would be a total contradiction if the Sabbath starts in the evening. If a Sabbath starts in the evening when the sun went down, this verse itself would be a total contradiction. Right now, we're finna stop for our news break. But as I said, you can talk about what you want to talk about. Let's see what's on your mind. You want to talk about this criminal system we're living in? You want to talk about the many people that have got killed? You want to talk about the great panel discussion that will take place at Central State on the true religion of the black man? What is it? Or if you want to talk about our discussion tonight on Dine Dine a Day, you can do so. But right now, we'll be right back in a few minutes. And call us up, area code 513-749-1230. Call us up on the bus. Be right back. Shalom.
1230 WTBC, Buzz of Cincinnati, your talk station.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bring you truth or traditions. Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only Savior and Redeemer of Israel and the world. Today on Truth or Tradition, we're talking about several subjects. We're talking about the great panel discussion that's going to take place at Central State University this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. right there at Central State. And we're talking about the agenda on the true religion of the black man. What is the true religion of the black man? And he got these heavy-duty scholars coming in. He has one rabbi theologian of the Old Testament, supposed to know it back and forth. And I think that's the one supposed to get me in shape. And then we have one that's an Orthodox Muslim minister. Then we have one that's with Farrakhan's group. Then we have a couple of theologians from the Christian profession, along with myself. It's going to be so much sheepskin hung up on the wall from these well-lettered men that I don't know how I'm going to be able to sit beside them with my credentials. The only credentials that I have is that I have to humble myself and tell them that I was just trained by the Most High, that he's who trained me. I don't have no big university and no doctor degrees and to put aside the rest of them, but I do have the Most High and his words, and the Creator says his words are the truth, and that's what we're going to deal with this week. We're also talking about the death of the 93-year-old black woman in Atlanta, Georgia, and a young man that was shot down in the street in cold blood that was getting ready for their wedding in a few hours. We're talking about the false justice in this land and these court systems. We're talking about that and how our people are going to be made waste here in America. But right now, we're going to see what our listeners who call in would like to talk about. So if you'd like to join us, 749-1230, air code 513. Right now, we're going right to Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie.
Shalom, shalom, Brother Israel.
Shalom, shalom.
And to Yah be the glory.
Yes, yes.
You know, I was listening to your program and enjoying it, just like I do every week. You know, you was talking about Thanksgiving. You know, and our people do not know the true meaning of Thanksgiving. And I watched a lady in my apartment complex was set out this week because I guess she hadn't been, I know she hadn't been paying the bills, and the children out there crying. And I'm like, you know, they spend all this money for the holidays, but they won't pay their bills.
Hmm.
And then I was listening to you, and you was talking about, you know, how the our people, they read the word, but they still don't want to accept the truth.
That is true. That is true. And so the Creator said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He said, because my people rejected knowledge. It's not that they didn't have it at their availability. They just rejected it.
And, you know, another subject you brought up, you know, Roger Ormsby, you know, he was murdered.
Yes.
And the officer that murdered him wrote a book and said he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, well, that's right.
No one has had enough
to sense. That heathen, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
He didn't. Uh-huh. He just said, see, to him he killed a black man, and that's why it was so readily accepted by the white community. Here's where they look at it. Anytime a white policeman kill a black man, here's how they look at it. Think of what would happen if you went home this evening and you seen some police at your doorstep, at your curb, out in front of your house, and they all got their sticks out and they're beating something, and you run and see what they're beating, and they got a rat on the curb and they're beating the rat. Now, are you going to get upset?
No.
Because you feel like, well, that's good they kill them because maybe they can learn how to stay out of my neighborhood. Maybe they can learn how to stay in their place. We don't need them around here anyway. So he did me a service. So when they see a police beating on us, they're looking like, hey, that he must have got out of his place. And we hired his people to keep them in their place. And every now and then they might have to beat one to death to let them know that you can't get too close to our homes because they're here to protect us. And so that's the reason they support them so much. They look at beating a black man to death as you would look at somebody beating a rat to death. You wouldn't feel no remorse at all, and that's how they feel.
Well,
that's why you don't have no big stir when they do these horrible things.
Yes, it's like my friend Skip was at a White Castle, you know, Thanksgiving that weekend, they beat him down.
Yes, yes.
You know, and it's just, he's
hollering. The weekend they murdered him, yes, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Justifiable homicide.
Justifiable.
Yes.
So when our people going to understand, wake up.
Well, they're going to wake up when it ends up being their son and nephew. Then they'll start waking up. But it got to get home first. But it will.
It will. Shalom, shalom, brother.
Well, thank you, Sister Jackie.
Okay.
Shalom, shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Right now, we want to go to Brother Michael Riley. Shalom, my brother.
Shalom, shalom. How are you doing there?
Excellent. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, doing great, doing great today. Okay, when you was talking about what's going on in this country this week, you know, we had this little white comedian got up there and said a few, called black folks a few words, and we rant and raved about that. But who really cares? Well, we got people being gunned down in the street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like a 90-year-old woman, a 92-year-old woman in Atlanta, gets shot 100 times.
Yes.
And we worried about some white boy calling somebody the N-word, I guess you would say.
You know, they all had to put new clips in their guns because about five of them. And that wasn't even all the bullets. She was probably struck 100 times, or they shot more than that. So you know what they were doing, just having target practice on her body.
A
90-year-old black woman.
But she wounded three, but she should have killed three. But it's the idea, they always tell you, black folks, you don't need no guns.
Mm-hmm.
Put your guns up. But they can come and kick in your door, and they're going to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in New York, when the brothers get shot 50 times, they reloaded again, and they shot him. But we always say, but then they try to justify these things, especially Atlanta, but there were black cops involved too.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand those are the worst kind of black folks we got.
Yes, yes.
You know, these like we got the Lincoln Douglas Club here,
mm-hmm.
but we got, like we got Dr. Sambo out famous corner, who wanted to put a jail in our neighborhood, wanted to send more black people to jail, talking about lying that we're going to help these black people go to jail. That's the biggest lie they've been told. But they use these Lincoln Douglas members to sell us out, these Sambos, to sell our people down the drain. And that's what they do on the police force, get these Sambos to help gun down our people to justify what we're going on. And we got these chili-eating preachers and our great councilmen and our great governors, whatever we got running around here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear any of them say anything?
Mm-hmm.
In any city we got, Atlanta's supposed to be a black city. Have you heard any of them people down there saying anything? No. What about all the council up in New York? No, they're afraid because they might mess up their political career.
You're right.
These are the type of things that we have. But they tell us to vote every year. Let's vote for these black, you know, chili-eating preachers and these people running around talking about we are save you. If you vote, we'll be free.
Right.
We'll be in worse condition than we ever been.
All right.
But we all know one thing, that everybody, don't throw your guns away. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, brother.
That's all I can say, because a good example, that 92-year-old woman showed you, you need your guns.
All right.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Appreciate your comments. Right now we're going to Mr. Wells. Mr. Wells.
Shalom, how you doing, Brother Alicia?
Fine, how are you?
I'm blessed. How's the family?
Excellent, how are you?
All right, all praise to Ezekiel.
All right.
Yeah, and just want to ask you if you could. You said you went to the, there was a conference last week that really concerned me. Was Elder Rabbi Robert Devine there for the Hebrew Culture Center there in Jackson? Was he at that?
Rabbi Devine?
Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't.
Okay. Okay, who actually put that on? I didn't know you were going to go out in town and do the. It was the call of restoring. What'd you say it was now again?
It is the called the Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference.
Yes, sir. Restoration.
And I happen to be the one that started it over 14 years ago.
Oh, okay. Then you chose to do it in Jackson this year.
No, we do it 3 times annually in different parts of the United States.
Okay, gotcha. I got you.
We just happen to fall in Jackson, Mississippi. The next time it'd probably be in Chicago and then Atlanta.
Okay, Restoration of the Sacred Law.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You say Elder Rabbi Devine wasn't there?
No, he wasn't there.
Okay.
You know, he's afraid to come near me ever since him and I had that debate years ago. Him and I had what the debate they called the Great Debate.
Okay.
In Chicago, Illinois, in the 90s, late 90s, and in the debate, he was attempting to defend.
Do you think he's afraid now, Brother Alicia? Come on, afraid.
Let me be, sir.
I just asked.
Sir, let me tell you.
Yes, sir.
I don't think he's afraid. I know he's afraid. Matter of fact, Rabbi Devine pulled a gun on one disc jockey in Jackson, Mississippi, when he played the debate on the radio station. He told him not to play it no more. And that's how embarrassed he was to hear it.
Uh-huh.
And any time that he thinks that he's going to have a discourse with me, he will try to get out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know that as a fact.
Yeah. Well, you know, I respect you and I respect him like I respect Bishop Campbell. Anybody that's teaching the Israelite dispensation, messianic or reformed, and I know that there are certain variances that you and I have, and I'm of the messianic Israelite, you know, Rastafarian sect, but we accept the laws and statutes, Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Day of Atonement, Sukkot, which we call Tabernacles. We accept the circumcision on the eighth day, and then some of the things we're at variance. But you know, I respect him like I respect you. You know,
let me ask you something. This.
Mm-hmm.
What's your first name again? Excuse me, Miss.
Brother Curtis.
Curtis Wells.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now my question is, sir.
Yes, sir.
It seems like you're very familiar with all the laws of Yah.
I read them to keep reminding myself.
Well, that's good.
As we should do on the Sabbath, we pull the book out and we remind ourselves.
Well, good. When I want you to remind yourself of this.
Mm-hmm.
What law did the Most High give us that we're supposed to worship somebody else other than him?
We're not supposed to.
Well, then how you become messianic?
Well, Brother Alicia, you going to give me a chance to respond?
Sure, certainly.
Okay. Now, when you look at the word meshi, you can go to the book of Daniel. And if I'm not mistaken, the 7th chapter,
mm-hmm.
when he is, I want to be clear about that. Isaiah is where is well. When you look at the word Messias
mm-hmm.
or in Amharic
mm-hmm.
or Amarinya, Meshi means anointed liberator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a promise to Israel that in the scattering and in the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel actually cut his hair off and cut it up into thirds, and he says one part of the scattering will die by famine and pestilence, one third will die by the sword being chased out, and another third will live in the scattering. All right? So as we are scattered, if people cannot get back to Israel physically to keep Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Undoubtedly. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you didn't hear my question.
I heard your question.
Then what was my question?
Well, the thing is, I think...
I want you to repeat it. What was my question?
Worshiping somebody else.
Yeah, where's that law at?
Well, see, here's the thing. I want to be clear.
You're being very clear with everything except giving me the law we are told to worship somebody else other than Yahweh.
Well, the thing is, to accept a messianic discipleship does not mean you're worshiping the person.
No, but to be a Christian, sir, you have to worship JC, and all Christians
do. Well, that's why
I
say I'm messianic. Because
everybody that I know that call themselves messianic worship Christ.
Well, we don't.
You don't worship Christ?
No, I don't. I definitely don't worship Christ.
You don't? You're not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
No, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit of redemption.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you don't regard Christ as your Savior, Lord and Savior?
No, because that wasn't the, here's the point.
All right. I mean, I'm just asking you a question. I'm asking you a question because your church members are listening to you.
That's fine.
So I'm asking you straight out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you regard Yahshua or Yehoshua as your Lord and Savior?
Well, I call him Emmanuel. That's what scriptures call him.
No, they don't call him Emmanuel. Those are two different things.
Well, no.
But anyway, do you
Alicia,
worship?
Can I respond? In the seventh chapter of Isaiah, it's Emmanuel.
Regardless of what you want to name him, my question is.
Yes, sir.
Where are you told to worship him at?
Well, it's not about worship. I don't worship him.
Oh, you don't worship him?
No, it's the thing about...
He's not your Lord and Savior?
No, Alicia. No, wait. No, definitely not.
Oh, he's not. And
no.
What church do you go to?
Wait a minute. I worship with R.A. Campbell.
Well, I know Campbell, and he worship him. Worshiping him for years.
Okay,
that's
fair. I go to Campbell's church. I've been to your church and kept the Sabbath. I've been up there one time.
Yeah, well, you need to go come more than one time.
Well, hold a second.
But see, I know you're Bishop Campbell. I know all your friends.
But,
I know Divine, and all of them worship J.C. They all worship him.
I don't
him.
Worship
they
J.C.
Teach him. They teach that.
No, wait a minute. Hold on.
And how can you go to the same church and you don't end up worshiping him?
Because the thing is, J.C. never said to worship J.C.
Yeah, I know it. I know it, and I brought this to the light.
I mean, that's factual.
All right, then let me ask you this. Is J.C. the son of the Most High?
Depending. I mean, that gets into some finer points about... about anointing.
Well, let me say this. We got to talk again.
Well, hold on one second. Can I respond to something? If an anointed person is prophesied by two prophets, all right, Isaiah is the son of Amos, all right? Isaiah speaks, and Amos tells us quite clearly, he is not the son of a prophet. Amos was not even a high priest. Amos says, look, I'm a sheep herder, and I've got a wail against Israel and against Judah.
What does this got to do with Yahshua? Amos and Isaiah, neither one of them ever said a word about Yahshua.
Well, not one word. Wait a minute, Leash. Can I respond? Hold on a second.
Well, I want you to respond
to
this. Let me give you my question first, because I'm going to have to let you go. I got a lot of people on, here's what I want you to do. I want you to show me one prophet anywhere in the book.
Well, I'm giving it to you now.
Let me get the question out of my mouth first.
Go ahead.
You know, the scripture says, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is a shame and folly unto him. So at least hear my question before you answer it. And my question is merely, where in the scriptures did any prophet at all, anywhere in the Holy Scriptures, anywhere in the Old Testament, period, speak of a man called Yahshua?
Well, see, Alicia, you calling him Yahshua.
Wait
a minute, Alicia. Hold on a second. Now, if you're going to ask me a question, let me respond.
Yeah.
Come on, now you're doing the folly.
Sir,
now,
you don't call him Yahshua?
I said Emmanuel Isaiah.
Well, show me where Emmanuel is supposed to come back to this world and die for the sins of the people. Show me that then.
It doesn't say that.
Well, then what does it say about Emmanuel?
It says that this lamb.
Emmanuel is never called a lamb.
No, wait a minute. The spirit.
No, he's never called a spirit.
No. His spirit that's in him. Emmanuel means in man spirit of liberation.
No, sir. That doesn't mean that at all.
That's what Emmanuel means.
Emmanuel is a Hebrew word meaning Elohim is with us. That's all, sir.
Wait a minute, Alicia. Hold on a second.
You just got a little nervous.
No, Alicia, if you want to be fair.
Yes, but I'm going to have to let you go right now because we got some other people.
I'll come past the barbershop, but it's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, at Central State.
I'll be there.
All right, I look forward to seeing you. All right. I talked a little longer than I anticipated because my board is filled, so let me go right to my dearly beloved brother, Malik. Brother Malik.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. When are you going to be up to Central State, Alicia?
This Tuesday at 7 p.m. for the discussion on the true religion of the black man.
Okay. And whereabouts is there going to be?
It's going to be in a hall there called the... Let me see. The hall is called the... the Center for Education and Natural Science.
Okay.
At Central State. It's at 7 o'clock. And before
that,
at 5 o'clock, they're having students of the African American religious class.
Mm-hmm.
They will present papers on various topics, and they will have a debate by students regarding the psychological change of slavery. A concept made popular by an African American scholar named Dr. Akbar.
Naeem Akbar.
I don't know his first name, but they are discussing some concepts that were written in his book. And so some of the students will be debating various concepts that he had.
Now, is he going to be up there?
Is he going to be there?
Yeah, Dr. Naeem Akbar.
No, he's not there. No, the students will be debating things out of his book. He will not be there. But they are going to have an Orthodox Islam minister there. I don't know his name, and I don't know the one with the Nation of Islam, and I don't know the two doctors of with the Christianity, nor do I know this Old Testament theologian. I just know he's a white man, that's a Jewish man, really. He's a theologian of the Old Testament, and they have him there. And but I don't know any of them that I know of.
Okay. Couple of things.
Yes, sir.
The seventh day, it's the seventh day, right?
Yes.
Now, you all don't do any work on the seventh day?
The only work we do on the Sabbath day is the work that's necessary to do to serve the Most High. Now, I teach, and that's work. I open the doors, and that's work. And I'll help people and elderly people, and I'll take people to hospital if I see them get hit by a car in the streets. The only work I'll do is the things that are not pertaining to servile work. But I will work in behalf of the Most High. But I won't work to go to a ball game or work to turn the TV on to watch a football game. And I won't work to go to no nightclub. I don't do that kind of work. The only work I do is work that will promote and exalt and magnify the Creator. We're allowed to do that. The priests were making sacrifice on that day, and we can still circumcise people on the eighth day, and we can help people on any day.
Well, such as household work, such as washing dishes, laundry,
things
pertaining to that.
No, none of that.
Okay. Read Numbers 31, verse 24.
Oh, absolutely. Number 31, verse 24. Here's what it says. And ye shall wash your clothes on the seventh day, and ye shall be clean, and afterwards ye shall come into the camp.
That's laundry and household.
Yeah, but here's what you notice that I said, and who is this to? This is not to the laymen. If we start at the 21st verse, you're talking to a high priest. And if we read, as I told you in the beginning, all priests can do things that are necessary to serve the Most High. And we have in the 21st verse, it says, And Eleazar, the priest, said unto the men of war which went to the battle, This is the ordinances of the law which Yahweh commanded Moshe. Only the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead. Everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. And all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. And ye shall wash your clothes on the seventh day, and ye shall be clean, and afterwards ye shall come into the camp. And Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying, So what is he talking about? He's talking about the seventh day after they came out of the battle. See, there's a difference between the seventh day and the Sabbath day. He's telling them activities they are to do on the seventh day. Now, every seventh day don't necessarily have to be a Sabbath day. It's the seventh day after a particular event. And this is the seventh day after this war took place. As you look in the ninth verse, and the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives and their little ones and took the spoil of their cattle and all the flocks and all their goods, and they burnt all and so on and so forth. And they went on, and that's what happened on the seventh day. It just didn't tell them to do this on the Sabbath day. And any time we had to do something specifically on the Sabbath day, it would say the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day means the rest day. And every seventh day is not a rest day.
When it says the seventh day,
yes, sir,
it's pertaining to the seventh day of the week. It didn't
say seven days.
It did not say 7 days after the war.
No. Well, see, it didn't say the Sabbath day.
It would have said 7 days after the war.
No,
it's the seventh day.
Yes, but every seventh day is not the Sabbath day. Look, let me show you the 19th verse in this same book. The 9th verse. It says, 19th verse, and ye shall abide without the camp 7 days. Whosoever has killed any person and whosoever has touched the slain, both yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. He's talking about the 7th day of the activity after you had went out to war. And this is what this is speaking for. This is not the Sabbath day, sir.
Well, here it clearly says in 19.
Yeah, 19 verse. Read that.
Hold on. And it says,
and do ye abide without the camp 7 days. It tells them how many days do to abide without the camp. Whosoever has killed any person and whoever touched the slain. In other words, this is the law of purification. The law of purification in our law tells you that on the 3rd day and the 7th day, he got to be cleansed, not the Sabbath day. That's the difference. The brother hung up. I didn't hang up. He hung up himself. But let's go to someone else. Board is filled. Let's go right to Brother Kimuel. Brother Kimuel.
Hey, Shalom, Morvay. How you doing this evening?
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I listened to your program night. A Sabbath evening, and speak to a lot of other people, and hopefully they're listening. But I want to ask you a question about Genesis, the first chapter, the 5th verse, and then 16, 17, 18.
Well, I don't know if I have room to answer all those questions. I have a lot of people on my mind, but I want you to get your best shot. What question in particular do you want me to answer?
Okay.
And
do you... In your years of experience, do you think the reason why a lot of odd people misrepresent verse 5 when they say Elohim called the light day and the darkness he called night and the evening and the morning were the first day, do you think they just misrepresented that or they translated that wrong or they could have done it a little better? The reason why I got the 16, 17, and 18 explains that 5th verse, you know, for the light being a day.
Well, I think a lot of people have been miseducated and indoctrinated. And regardless what their true intent of the verse, when they allow other people to educate them outside of the ones that the Almighty entrusted with his holy articles, then they can fall into confusion. And this is what took place. They refused to accept the words of the Most High when he said he gave them the sun to rule the day. That's self-explanatory.
Yes. Okay.
But listen, I'm going to go ahead. One other question real quick.
Okay, and I'll hang up on this. I heard you mention heathen and Gentiles, and I have used that a lot also. But is it fair to say that any, you know, y'all say he's the only one. Before him, there was no other Elohim born, nor did he know any other one. So would it be fair to say anybody who worship any other so-called deity is an atheist? And I'll hang up and listen.
No, that's an atheist is a man that don't believe in a God at all. As an astnostic is a person that he neither believes or disbelieves. He's not sure. But an atheist is a person that does not believe. Now, per person that has more than one is dealing in idolatry, you just have a straight out heathen. And then you had pagans that didn't worship the Most High at all either. All right? All right. Somebody said that Brother Malik is back on the line, you said? Line three. Let me go and get him back so I can. Brother Malik?
Yes.
The operator accidentally turned you off. But what chapter was that you told me to read? Numbers of what?
Oh, that was Numbers. We're going to disagree on.
No,
that.
No. I want to show you something. That was Numbers of what?
Numbers 31.
All right, let me show
24.
You something. All right, I want you to see something.
Okay.
Now go to Numbers the 19th.
Okay, go ahead.
Now the reason I took you that, this is a chapter that's dedicated on the law of purification and how a man and what day a man is to purify himself after he touched the dead body of any man, whether that man died in war or whether he died naturally. If you touch the dead body, here's what it says in the 19th chapter, the 11th verse. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Now, at the end of that 7 day, that don't mean it's a Sabbath day. That meant that he's 7 days from the day that he touched that dead body. Now, he might have touched the dead body on the 3rd day of the week. He might have touched it on the 6th day of the week. But whatever day he touched that dead body, he got to count 7 days. And here's what it says. He shall purify himself on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. That's the 7th, the 3rd, and 7th day. And then we get to the 3rd.
Wait a minute now. Cool.
Yes, I wanted you to look at that.
Back up. Read that again. Purify. Go ahead.
It says, 11 and 12, he that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days, right? So you and I can agree that that 7 day don't have to be the Sabbath day, right?
Well, right. Where are you reading that?
Numbers 19 and 11.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, can we agree that that don't have to be the Sabbath day because he said he should be unclean 7 days? You agree with that?
I agree with that.
All right, and then it goes on, he shall purify himself on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he shall be clean. But if he purify himself on the 3rd day, then the 7th day he shall not be clean. Whosoever touches the dead body of any man that is dead, then it goes on. But I just wanted you to see the law of purification. Then you get to the 31st chapter of the book of Numbers. You get to the 31st chapter, and then we'll get to the same 19th verse. And here's what it says in another one. It's talking about killing. See, the 17th verse says, now therefore kill every male amongst the little ones, kill every woman that has not known man by lying with her, but all the woman children that has not known man by lying to them, keep alive for yourself. And ye shall abide in the camp 7 days. Whosoever killeth any person, and whosoever touches the slain, purifies yourself and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. So it's talking about the same thing. It's talking about the law of purification.
No, it's not, Alicia.
Oh, okay. I just thought.
Well, we don't have time to get into that.
It's right here. It says the law of purification.
What are we disagreeing about? What I'm saying is when it says seventh and seven and seventh, you're talking about two different things.
Usually, it's talking about seven.
When the Bible speaks of the 7th day, without an exception, it's talking about the 7th day.
Oh, no, sir. You just read and you agree with me that they were not talking about the Sabbath.
No, I agree with you that 7 days doesn't necessarily mean the 7th day.
Well, that's right. If it doesn't, that don't mean.
When you talk about the 7th day, in that context, Alicia, you're usually talking about the 7 day.
No,
but
we're going to that.
But another thing I want to ask you.
But I got to go to somebody else. I came back to answer
you.
I don't have time. I got my board here.
Day and night. Day and night.
Okay, come on.
Okay. Now, you say that daytime starts when? When does a day start?
A day starts when light first began to come. Just before the sun totally rises, you see light. That is the light that is called daybreak. That's when day is beginning to break through. And once it breaks through, you have the beginning of a day. The day starts in the morning.
Okay, when it gets daylight.
Yeah, that's in the morning.
What time is it going to be daylight tomorrow?
I don't know.
So you don't know what time
the
day going to start?
I have to look outside and see, but it'll probably start around.
Okay.
Let me answer your question.
Right.
Our day might start around 7 o'clock in the morning. It might come a little earlier than that. I have to get up and see and watch it.
In the summertime, the days are longer, right?
Yes, it is.
And it's one of the times the days are shorter.
Yes.
Okay. Read Genesis.
Yes.
Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5.
Well, I don't have time to read 1 through 5, but I'll read Genesis 1, 3 to 5.
Okay.
All right, and here's what it says. The third verse. And Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. And Elohim saw that the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day. That what he called the light? Day. And the darkness he called night. Then you see a period, Malik. That period indicates that sentence is complete. It's complete. Even though the people that wrote this tried to deceive our people by putting it together.
Read on.
Yeah, but I'm going to read it, but we got to understand what we're reading. The scripture said,
read it.
Hey, 1 minute, Malik. 1 minute, please. Please, hold it, sir. Hold it. I'm trying to accommodate you, but you're going to have to.
No, you're not reading.
Hey, wait a minute, Malik. I'm finna read. But I want to explain something as we go. The scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, but with all you're getting, get understanding. That doesn't do us no good.
Wait.
I'm going to have to put you on hold now. Now, what this is saying, wisdom is the principal thing. But with all you get wisdom, get understanding. It's good to have wisdom, but it's better to have understanding with your wisdom. Right here, the fifth verse, the Creator makes it plain as daylight. He says, and Elohim called the light day. So we know what day. Day has been defined as light. And the darkness he called night, and then you see a period. That meant that sentence is complete. Why? Because he has already defined a day, and he already defines a night. And then it says in this English Bible, it might read, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, even if we accept it as it is in English, if I say the evening and the morning is the first day, I have to find out what a day is. Day has already been defined as being light. So therefore, evening and morning both belong to the light period. Therefore, as we begin to study, I see that evening is the end of a day, but it's still part of day. And I see that morning is the beginning of a day, but it's still part of day. So it can still must be defined as day. And in Hebrew, it don't say the evening and the morning were the first day. It said there came to be evening and there came to be morning one day. That's how it would read. It came to be. They're not defined yet. And after day, you do have evening, and then you have a night. And before the next day, there is a morning. But day has already been defined as being light. Let me go to someone else because our time is really running out, and let me talk to as many people as possible. Right now, I want to go right to my dearly beloved sister, Rashida. Rashida.
I'm here.
Rashida. Rashida?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
Evening. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Very good.
Evening.
Turn down your radio. I'm getting a backlash.
Can you hear me now? The evening and the morning
mm-hmm.
was the first. It says day.
Yeah.
First off, he didn't even have a son. So.
Yes.
I wanted to say last week. You know, I felt a little bit insulted by you.
Well, that's not my intent.
Sir.
So let me apologize because it's never my intent.
Ed, you was going to bring me back on the line. You took two brothers and just left me hanging on the line. That's not fair.
I didn't know that. I didn't see you on the line at all.
Hold on.
I wasn't there last week, of course. I was.
Before last.
I don't remember what happened that day.
I remember. I wrote it down. And you called people knuckleheads because.
No, I never called you a knucklehead.
Yes, you did.
No.
I don't have to lie to you. I wrote it down. You said, I don't understand why these knuckleheads did it.
Well,
if a person don't understand, that's no reason to call them a name.
And I agree.
You could be a little bit more patient.
Yes, I should.
Okay, well,
and if I said that and you took it as an insult, then I apologize, but I wasn't talking about you.
Yeah, because they don't understand.
That's true.
Okay, Brother Alicia, I don't really want to argue with you.
And I...
But I would like to get back to Genesis, what we were talking about. You took me to Isaiah.
Yeah, turn down your radio a little bit. Turn down your radio a little bit.
Turn it down.
Okay. Now, what's that, Isaiah?
You told me to look. You read out of Isaiah. We were reading. Is the Isaiah, is that the Tanakh?
Yes.
Okay. First five books is the Torah?
Yes.
Okay. When he said, let us.
Yes.
Man in our image. Our
yes.
image. That has to stand. You can't change that. Isaiah
yes.
can't even explain it because we can't even get out of Genesis.
All right.
Okay, now.
May I answer this?
Brother, you know what, Alicia? I mean, I'm being truthful. If this is the law, you see, it's the law. It's got to be the law. It has to stand. It has to stand. Yahweh say, let us make man in our image. And that's what it says.
Yes.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what us and our mean.
Well, who is us?
I asked you.
Well, let me answer it because I'm glad that you called back. You know why? Because once I talked to one of my brothers, he told me and enlightened me and let me know that I took you to Isaiah and showed you where the Most High made things by himself, but I never did tell you who us was.
And I'm
apologizing for never really. He brought it to my attention. He said, you never, my brother Black Lion, he said, you never did tell her who us was. And I said, you know, you're right. And when I talked to her, beautiful sister Rashida again, I'm going to apologize and explain who us is. Now, when the Creator said, let us make men, he was talking to his angels.
Oh, that's what I told you about the Quran.
Yes, but here, let me show you where he was talking to his angels at. You'll find also in the book of Genesis 1 and 10 when he said, let us go down and destroy the Tower of Babel, that he was also talking to his angels. And you'll find also in the book of Job 1 and 6 when the Creator says, and there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh, and there came Satan, appeared amongst them also.
Pardon me, brother.
Yeah,
that
he was also talking to his angels.
Okay.
But here's the difference. I said, you will see this one place where he suggested, let us make man, but you will never see nowhere else in the scriptures where us made anything. I said, you would never, only this one verse of people go to where he made a suggestion and said, let us make man. But the 27th verse never said us made man. It never said they made man. It never said we made man. It said Elohim made man.
Brother
and
Lee.
All the rest of the book, all the rest of the Torah, all the rest of Tanakh, it says everything that Yahweh made, he said, I made it by myself. I said, not so with the Quran. All through the Quran, everything was made by us.
Okay.
And I said, you will never see the Almighty sharing his glory with others, talking about we made this, we did this, we blessed Abraham, we saved Moses, we gave Moses the book, we saved the children of Israel, you can pray to us, we will forgive you. You won't find no we in the Torah as you do the Quran. And that's the point I was making.
But it says, let us, and
yes,
that's the end of that
point.
Conversation.
Yes, you're right.
But wait a minute.
That because you can't go no further than that 26th verse. It ends there.
Even get, that's right. You're exactly right. But what I'd like to know is about the earth bringing up forth the fruits and vegetables, seeds after its own kind. However, in the second chapter, he said that it wasn't so because Adam wasn't there to till the soil. Now, you know what? I'm not a fool.
No, you're not a fool, but sometimes we don't have to be a fool to not...
What did animals eat?
You
on the fifth day. Wait a minute, brother, please, I need to ask you this. What did the animals eat? That's one of the things I like to know, because they were here before Adam was.
What did the animals eat when? At what time?
No vegetation.
What did the animals eat?
Eat.
All right, let me tell you what the animals
eat. Well, I have two or three questions.
You
can ask them all at the same time. Please, just let me get it out.
I can't answer them all at the same time, but I'll...
Mm-mm. Brother Alicia.
Let me tell you what they ate, and now I'll show you.
No vegetation.
I thought you were asking me a question.
Brother, I
am. You're being unfair, Rashida. You're asking me questions.
You know
what,
like you, and I apologize if I am, but we do that sometimes because we're human. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead. But what I wanted to ask you something, it's all the same question. And see, because I know you're going to mute me in a minute or cut me off. And if I can get my questions asked, then you can expound on it. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now I wanted you to explain that.
Write the question.
Vegetation, the earth was bringing forth all the vegetation on the third day. But when you go to second chapter, it says, these are the generations, and I'm going on down to five. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and so forth and so on. But there went up the mist. Okay, I'm going down to the next one. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust. I'm skipping some. The Lord God planted a garden. If Yahweh planted it, what did he need the man to do it for? He did it anyway. Because he did it on the third day. What day did the garden come? Because Adam was created on the sixth day. So what day did the garden come? And Yahweh could have done it anyway because he did it anyway. He didn't need Adam. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense. That's illogical. And you can't plant a garden if you don't have a sun and a moon, or at least the sun. You got to have a sun. Process of photosynthesis, chlorophyll, and air, and sunlight. Otherwise, the fact is it would not be green. You would not have a garden. But you had an evening and a morning the first day. You had light and didn't have sun. Come on, Alicia. Now, please explain that if you can.
Okay. First of all, the first chapter is in Hebrew. There is no such thing as chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We didn't have no chapters. It was a continuous flow. These chapters, these pages were made chapters years and years later. But there was no chapter 1, 8, and 10. It was just writings, description. And the writings, what we call the first chapter, that was already wrote. It is there. It is a brief outline of how the Creator created everything. The second chapter, the Almighty gets into the specifics, why he made everything in the manner that he did, and why he made the earth to rain, and why he brought up water out from the earth, and why. He explains all of this in the second chapter. But the first chapter, we already have a sun and moon. The sun and moon, you'll find that in the 14th verse. To the 16th verse, you'll see the sun and moon already there. But when you get to the second chapter, it starts off with Sita in the first verse. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Everything is finished. And he's not making no if, buts, and ands. He's not trying to compromise. He's letting you know that everything is already made. But everybody want to ignore the writings where it said everything is finished. It's finished.
So then why
No, I listen to you. Now you're going to have to listen for a minute. Everything is finished. It said everything is finished.
Listening.
And please, I'm going to have to put you on mute now because you're not being fair.
Go ahead.
You keep interrupting me. Now, I listened to you and I didn't say one word. And then after the Creator said, thus the heavens and earth were finished and all the hosts of them, and on the seventh day Elohim ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he had rested. In other words, he'd be constantly being redundant. He constantly reiterates the fact that he finished it. And he rested the seventh day and sanctified the seventh day from all his work that Elohim created and made. And then the fourth verse brings some other understanding. It said, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they was created in the day that Yah made the heavens and the earth. So while he's doing here, explaining the various cycles of events, why he made things, and the manner that he made the things, because they was already made. In other words, this is not a second creation. Everything is already finished. He's just reiterating on what he had already made. And he says in the fifth verse, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it would grow. In other words, he's letting you know that before everything was in earth, and before everything was grew, He had not caused it to rain because there was not a man to till the ground. So he brought a mist up to water the earth. And this mist came up to water the earth. Then when he could plant the things, then they blossomed up and came up because he had watered it. He watered it because there was no man to till the ground. See, man was not made until the sixth day. But as you said, these vegetations were made the third day. So the Almighty, thinking in advance, did this for everything to be able to grow. And he's explaining, I just didn't put it in the earth. Before all these things were put in the earth, I caused this mist to come up to water the earth because I hadn't made man yet on the sixth day. And he's trying to explain this to the people. And then he says, and Yahweh formed man of the dust to show you how he made man. See, the first chapter just roughly said he created man and said male and female created he him. Now he gets into the specifics. He formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then he planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
He did it.
Now, what day did he plant the garden? I don't know. It doesn't say, but it is the first week. And he's just reiterating on the things he did the first week, and he's trying to explain to our people why he took his mind and made everything as he did. And to me, it's beautiful because he explains the things that were lost.
Brother Misha?
Yes, baby.
You know what? A lot of people have anything done. He simply turned to and said, B.
All right.
Say B.
Okay. I thought I would explain it to you. Now, there's an old saying, a man convinced against his will is of the, it says, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. I tried to show you. I didn't try to convince you. I tried to show you. And it's up to you to accept or reject. But I showed you that there's no contradiction in what the Almighty's saying in the second chapter as it relates to the first chapter at all. Even though many theologians are puzzled with this. Many theologians think it's two different creations. But here's why they think it's two creations. According to the book of Psalms, 147 chapter, the Almighty explains the dilemma that these theologians are in. That's the reason it's very difficult to find a theologian anywhere in the United States or the world that will come to debate, Brother Alicia, anywhere. Because these theologians have realized their knowledge comes from the books that man made, and my knowledge comes from the Most High. And notice what the Creator says in Psalms 147, the 19th and 20th verse.
He showeth his word unto Jacob.
The Creator said he showed his word unto Jacob.
His statutes and his judgments unto Israel.
He said he showed all his statutes and judgments unto Israel.
He hath not dealt so with any nation.
He said, I hadn't did this with any other nation. No other nation have I gave my laws and statutes and covenants to. So I don't care how long they study in these theological cemeteries or these theological seminaries, as you call them. They won't understand me because I never gave them my word. I never gave them my understanding. I never gave them my judgments. So they can't teach them as it relates to me, as Brother Alicia do. Brother Alicia has no misunderstanding about me because I sent him to represent my word. I didn't send these theologians. So no, they're not to have the understanding that somebody that's representing me has. He said, I only gave my statutes and judgment unto Israel. He said, I have not dealt so with any other nation. And as far as his judgments, they have not known him. Praise ye Yah. Let me go right now to Brother Wesley. Brother Wesley,
shalom.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, my brother?
Brother, I tell you, ice cream never was any better than the Moray Elisha type.
as you
spoke to the challenges, you reminded me of Elisha being challenged by the prophets of Baal. And I tell you, brother, you just caused the fire to come on down with the help of the mighty Yah. You know, this is a great day, like you said earlier in the broadcast. I'm glad I had the great pleasure of being able to listen and take this in. But Moray, continue to take care of your business because Yah is backing you. And otherwise, y'all willing, I will be at the Central State University Forum and hear you get these brothers straightened up and ready to come over to the truth and have it together like they should.
Yes, sir. Oh. And I'll be praying that the Almighty, I'm not there to destroy no one. Just there to try to enlighten and wake up our people. Because
brother,
it's time that we wake up. And the Almighty, he has arranged this himself.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right.
This is his doing.
That's right. And I mean, everything, you know, if people just read carefully and let Yah talk within them, you know, it'll all come together. Just the beauty of Yah writing that book, and during the time of slavery, that was a book placed with the slave master, and all the while, that was our book that was going to wake us up at the right time. So, I mean, everything is right on course. So, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, and thank you for allowing me to listen, brother, and shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, and brother, it's a pleasure talking to you and having you listening.
Yes, sir, brother,
pleasure.
Always.
And I get thrilled thinking that you're so near unto our brothers right here in the city.
Yes, sir.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And listening to our listening audience, if anyone wants to hear some of the various discussions, some of the various debates that Brother Alicia has been in with various scholars of different religions and different denominations around the country, just go to www.houseofisrael.org, and hear these various discussions and see the teacher of Yah speak on many controversial issues that we have on our internet. And if we have any questions at all, any comments, and anybody want to talk to me during the course of the week about anything I said, please call me. Phone number, area code 513-226-7110. Call me up and we can talk. And until next week, Yah, we love you very much, and so do I. Shalom.